welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney travel podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
It's a very special episode today.
Is it?
For a couple reasons.
Okay.
One, we're outside, sort of.
Yes.
We're on a camping trip in our backyard.
It's true.
we wanted to go camping, and we had not booked a campsite,
nope.
So we decided to just do it in our backyard.
Yep.
And it's been actually quite a bit of fun, so.
Yeah, we've done this before, not at this house, but we actually pull an old TV out and we watch scary movies at nighttime, and then apparently we record the podcast this week out here too.
Yeah, hopefully the sound's okay. There's a lawnmower going in the background, but
you might hear birds, chipmunks, squirrels, our dog.
There's no wind this morning, which is unusual, but that's what we're doing.
We're giving it a try.
I think that qualifies as my nerd thing as well.
Oh, I like
I'm
that
just
nerd
jumping,
thing.
Jumping right in
okay,
there.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Minor thing is on this camping trip, I read a lot on camping trips, and I said this one is going to be no different. So I've read five books in the last two days. And I'm trying to count where I am in the series, because I'm reading the Sookie Stackhouse
seven times fast.
I can't say it once, apparently. But they're also called the Southern Gentleman Vampire series or the Louisiana Vampire series, but it's the True Blood books. The ones that they diverge quite a bit at this point. But yes, I'm seven books in now.
Yeah,
so.
I think literally only the first season, and then like
there's
the second season, like they draws from all the other books and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And there's like different characters that you meet like down the road that they just are like, they completely change. Anyway, it's, that's what is going to be my nerd thing, because I've been doing a whole lot of reading on this camping trip.
You've enjoyed it.
Yeah, very much so.
You've been telling me all about it.
Yes, very much so. There are 13 books in total, and then one collection of short stories, and I've read seven of them now.
A lot of books, although they're small and short.
Yeah, there's only like 300 pages in each one. It's not crazy or anything.
Little wee books.
Yeah. So I'm gonna start number 8 today.
Cool.
So that's our nerd things already. Way to jump right in there, Brandon.
Yeah.
What about your drinking?
Well, it's early morning on a camping trip, so you need some tasty coffee.
Yeah.
It's much easier to make coffee when you're camping in your backyard, though.
Yes, because you go into the kitchen.
Normally, we have a French press or maybe a cappuccino machine that we put on our camp stove.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds actually really bougie.
That sounds super bougie.
Okay,
first of all, let's clarify. We tent camp, but we still have
a
French press. Yes, we use our camp stove for such things.
Yeah. And it works pretty good, but no,
priorities.
This is just like regular coffee from the kitchen.
It's true. I have been enjoying you going and getting coffee in the morning and bringing it to me in the tent, though.
Yeah, well.
It's pretty handy.
There's a little chill in the air. It's
mid-August,
so it gets pretty cool at night.
It's actually crazy how much cooler it gets at night now.
It's also,
we're in the mountains.
It's nice because it's been a heat wave here for like over a month, and it's been very hot in the house, so I've slept really well out here.
Yes,
in
me
the cool.
too. Me too.
Okay, so that's drinking, that's nerd thing. And the other reason that it's a very special episode, what did we do this week, Krista?
What did you do this week, Krista? I had a blind date with Disney, and I think you may have found the single worst movie on Disney Plus.
Well, I don't know what it's about. You're going to tell me.
I am.
But the whole reasoning behind it is, it's like we just said, it's mid-August, and we're starting to get excited for spooky season.
Yeah.
And pumpkin spice season.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I thought it was a good theme for someone who likes pumpkins and gourds of all types. So what movie did you end up watching?
Okay, so it is actually called The Secret of the Magic Gourd in English.
See, I didn't know that it was a foreign film.
Yes, it is. I'm not going to attempt to pronounce.
I will.
Okay.
Bao Hulu Di Mimi.
Okay, so it's a Chinese film.
Yeah, that's really bad Chinese that I just
Yeah, so we
did.
Apologize to everyone
yeah.
for that. But that is what I watched. It was something special.
It had the official Disney logo on it.
It did. It was I'll explain all this, but it was in cooperation with Disney.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about for our main topic.
Yay.
You're going to tell me all about it.
So I am.
You sounded really enthusiastic.
I think I was watching upstairs and I came downstairs and just glared at you for like...
It's true. You did. Yeah.
But you may have also checked out our Instagram stories because I actually was commenting while I was watching it on there. Okay. So does that take us to the news?
Well, first we're going to... We have a countdown.
We do.
It's only... from the airing of this show, it's going to be only 3 full days.
That's right, because it's Thursday now.
Till She-Hulk comes out, because She-Hulk likes Thursdays for some reason. I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe because it's like a comedy, and like Thursdays used to be a really big comedy night.
Maybe that's it. Was that when Ally McBeal came out and stuff like that?
Well, I know Friends was big on Thursday. Thursday night was big sitcom night, so okay. Maybe that's what they're going for. I don't know. But yes, Thursday... She-Hulk.
Yay! And I Am Groot is out now as well, speaking of Marvel shows. We haven't watched any yet.
We have not. I think we should watch that and Baymax and then like compare the two shorts.
Oh, that sounds fun. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm in favor of this.
Okay, well, that's all I have for countdowns and stuff. Andor, of course, I think we talked about it, was pushed back till late September.
Yeah, not crazy pushback, but definitely pushback.
About a month, which is good because it won't overlap with She-Hulk.
Thank goodness.
And we're getting 3 episodes when it comes
out. Yeah, that's right. I didn't know that. That was something we found out this week. So
that way it can be done before December.
Smart. Yeah. Smart, smart. Yeah. Disney A News Update.
News.
It sounded ominous. You said you have the news this week.
Yeah, just bits and pieces here and there. We were talking about She-Hulk coming out this week.
Yeah.
They've been doing a pretty big advertising blitz for it. We've seen a few TV ads, and we don't watch TV that much.
So that's saying something.
But they have some real-world ads as well. They've been deploying lawyer bench style ads all across North America. Like
hilarious.
They're in the States, obviously, but in major cities in Canada, they've been putting
including
up these,
one near us.
These bright green benches, and they look like your typical lawyer ad.
Except they're for She-Hulk.
Call now. It's She-Hulk.
That's so clever. I actually really love that.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good. And then we did see the one TV spot for She-Hulk where they were parodying Law and Order.
Oh, that was amazing.
And that really sets the tone for what kind of show it's going to be. And
yeah.
I'm looking forward to this one.
Everything I see about it, I like it. I'm looking forward to it
more.
Don't
let me down. And I don't want to hear any more complaints about the CGI because I don't care.
it's a TV show. Yeah. Get over it. In case you didn't know, actual humans are not big and green.
I mean, they might be.
Well, they might be, but I don't think she actually is.
Oh, right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, you know. Everything I see about it, I'm looking more and more forward to it. So
should be fun.
Hope so.
Yeah. And the other big piece of Disney news this week was they had their earnings call.
Oh, yeah.
and earnings calls are usually pretty boring business jargon. As a CPA, I've heard my fair share or more than
more
my
than
fair
your fair share.
Not usually the most exciting things, but this one got people all riled up because it's Disney and everything they say is gone over with a fine tooth comb.
Of course.
But they were talking about how good their revenue was and how per capita ticket revenue is up in the parks.
Yay.
Largely due to, yay for them. I don't really care.
Yay for the company.
Other than if
yay for the people on the call.
If the company's doing well, yes, it's for the investors. They're talking to investors. So that's the other thing you have to keep in mind. But if the parks are doing well, then that means they're going to build more stuff, and that's good.
That's yay.
So, anyway, they were talking about their per capita ticket revenue going up because of Genie Plus and Lightning Lanes and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And lots of churros, maybe. I don't know.
Probably churros.
But then they used the phrase unfavorable attendance mix. And right away, all the entitled pass holders were like, we're not unfavorable.
Yeah, okay. This was because they were talking about everything in general, but this was specifically talking about Disneyland.
Disneyland, yeah.
So let's say they
were talking about their parks revenue in general, but then they were like, Disneyland has an unfavorable attendance mix, which from a business perspective, it does. People who go there once a year or less, once every 10 years, are going to spend a lot more money because they have all of the stuff to do is new to them.
Yes, and here's the thing. This often gets said, and then annual pass holders come back, and let's call annual pass holder, I don't know, Bob or something, and in comparison to Bob and say like us, Bob will say, well, I spend lots throughout the year. Okay, yes, but you go, that's throughout the whole year. We go once a year. We're going to spend more on that one. We're going to spend maybe even the same amount.
More per day in the park.
More per day. And when we're not there, then maybe Joe, who only goes once a year, is there in our spot. Like when you have 10 spots, they want single day pass holders holding those 10 spots because they spend more every day.
It's an attendance limited business, so you want each one of those limited attendants to spend the most amount of money.
They're not wondering if Bob spends more or we spend more. They're wondering how many of us go in the same amount of days as Bob.
It's not that complicated. I don't think they hate annual pass holders.
They don't.
I think it's an important part of their business at Disneyland, so whatever.
And I also don't think, because we were discussing this last night, I don't think, like, they look at, say, every other park. Disney World is, of course, the one that gets compared to the most, being it's the other United States one.
Yep.
They say, well, they want to turn it into Disney World and it won't do that. No, it won't do that. And I don't...
They want to close the gap, though.
Yes. I think that's it, because you're not, you know, you can't be in the Disney bubble, like, in Disneyland, like you can in Disney World.
No.
So already there's that. It isn't quite the mecca for, you know, international travel and things like that, of course, but they want to encourage more out-of-towners. They want to encourage that, and a lot of
and you can't do that when you're giving all the special incentives
exactly.
to pass holders.
Exactly. Like I don't know about you, but I'm in a lot of like social media groups and things like that that are, say, you know, Canadians or whatever traveling. And on these forums and things like that, there are people who will go further to go to Disney World because they feel like Disneyland is a locals park.
Yeah. Yeah, they are treated special. And you know what? They should get certain
I think they should be.
Certain parks and stuff. Like, yeah, a lot of them are the superest fans of super
100%.
Fans. 100%. And that's fine. But
100%.
You got to make room for everybody. And from a business perspective, you want those people that are spending more per day.
Well, that's exactly right. That's not callous. It was an earnings call. It was about earnings.
Like it or not, we're in a capitalist society.
And it is. And Disney is a business. They're not saying the annual pass holders are unfavorable.
they're a business with a capital B. Like, it's one of the most businessy businesses that ever businessed.
So when people are like, oh, well, it's like 70% annual pass holders. Like, I know we keep saying annual pass holders. I know that's not a thing anymore. But it's, we know what we mean.
Magic Keys, meh.
Yeah.
Terrible branding.
If it's something like that, if it's something like 70%, 30%, they just want it to be more like not 70 anymore. They want to up the amount of other people and make it more friendly for them. So,
yeah.
Business.
Business.
I was trying to do like Sam Eagle and Chris Carroll.
Yes.
You will love business.
Exactly. And then there's just a couple rumors. We're going to be circulating rumors as we get closer to
D23. Yes, we will. In fact, the episode right before D23 starts, let's have an all rumors
episode. We're just going to round up the rumors and give our thoughts. But
sounds good.
Quickly right now, apparently the Tarzan's Treehouse project got a code name.
Oh, yes. This is exciting.
Kaleidoscope.
Kaleidoscope.
I don't know if it's that exciting, but
I think it's exciting just because people are like grasping at news.
Grasping at news.
I think the name Kaleidoscope is cool.
Yeah, and there's lots of stuff swirling around Tomorrowland as well. Maybe even a Space Mountain movie.
Space Mountain.
Should probably just star The Rock and he goes into space
probably.
Looking for a mountain.
Probably. Why not? I don't know. A mountain in space? What? But yes, lots and lots of rumors circulating. Brandon, what do you think Kaleidoscope could be code for?
I think they're just going to turn it into a giant kaleidoscope.
I don't think that's it. I think you're wrong.
No. I think it's a poorly kept secret that it's probably going to be in Kanto.
I think so too. And I think that makes the most sense,
It
honestly.
Makes the most sense with what they're going for and the popularity.
Also, it's in Adventureland, and Kanto isn't that much of a stretch for Adventureland.
Yeah.
And, like, it's fine.
And then they can stop doing the light show projection on Small World and move Don't Talk About Bruno show over
in
to
that
Adventureland
area.
Or something.
I don't know. It's pretty tiny in there.
It is. That is a bottleneck. But whatever. I think that's the way it should
go. It's colorful. It's multifaceted. I think it makes sense, too. And I think we'll hear something at D23.
I'm pretty sure. Okay, well, that's all I got. I don't know if you wanted to add anything.
No, I'm stalling. I don't want to talk about the secret gourd. I don't want to relive this.
Secret guard?
I mean, the secret of the magic gourd, whatever it's called.
Disney Plus and chill.
Okay, let's do it.
I'll remind you that you made me watch 3 High School Musicals in a row.
I would so much rather do that.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, take it away, Krista.
I can do this. Okay, so this movie is from 2007. Like I said, it is in conjunction with the China Movie Company Limited, in cooperation with them and Disney.
It's
a joint affair.
They really went all out with naming that company.
They really did.
Okay.
Sounds made up, doesn't it? Apparently, this is based on like a novel or something. I could only imagine it was like a kid's picture book, but it says novel in the description. So I don't know. All right. First of all, this entire thing is voice dubbed.
Well, yes, because it's a foreign film. So you could have probably found subtitles for it instead.
That would have been so much better because the voice dubbing is really bad.
Yeah, generally dubbing is not great.
No.
I mean, I don't begrudge anyone if they can't watch subtitles. Like,
I do.
Well, if they can't, like, if they have reading problems
or
something.
Oh, yeah, that's
like,
fine. If it's a preference.
If it's inaccessible, then yeah, dubbing serves a purpose. But yeah, generally, listen to it with the original voice actors.
Yeah, that would have been...
And read the translation. It's not that hard. Okay. Anyway, moving on.
Okay. So, I'm going to say a lot of things here, and you're not going to believe me that this happened in this movie.
I might. There's a magical gourd. Anything is possible if you just have a magical gourd.
That's actually the center of the... I don't even know if you need to believe that much. It's... Okay.
The gourd will make you believe.
Kinda. First of all, I don't know how to feel about this gourd, except that the gourd is the best part of this movie, because it's actually kind of cute, and it's magic, but it's actually kind of cute. And I think because it's, like, CGI, the voice dubbing didn't bug me as much, because it's not actually a human talking.
So it's not, like, a Muppet gourd?
No, it's a CGI.
Okay, see, I was picturing, like, the vegetables that the Swedish Chef always have.
That's amazing, and I wish that was the case. La, la, la.
How would you feel if I went on eBay and found like a bootleg plush of the magical gourd from this movie for you to hang out with you? You could cuddle it at night. No? Okay.
I would hide it in random places that you found. I don't think that exists.
No, probably not.
Okay, so because I watched the voice dubbed one, I'm going to be talking about their like American names, I guess.
Yeah.
So the main character in this is called like Raymond. I know that's not his name in the original, but that's what they changed it to for the voice dubbing. So that's what we're going with. So essentially he's like 10 or 11 or something like that. All right. And his whole premise is he's supposed to be lazy. Okay. So we open up and it opens up in space. First of all, the magical gourd doesn't come from space.
But the movie starts in space.
Well, just hold on here for a minute.
No, I'm trying to follow. Okay.
The movie starts in space, and there seems to be asteroids heading for Earth, and the satellite that they're on, I think it's a satellite that they're like fixing or something, gets damaged, and this ship comes up from Earth to save them, and it's like by the skin of its teeth, he like saves them.
The gourd's teeth?
No. The skin of this, the guy driving the ship.
Okay.
His teeth, he saves them. And then he's hailed as a hero. And he gets home, and then you realize it's this, like, 10-year-old boy who was the captain of this ship that goes to save them. And then he, like, gets hailed as a hero, and of course it's a dream. So that's supposed to be his whole thing, is he's everyone calls him lazy, but I think he's just, like, overly imaginative, which is not the same thing.
And also lazy?
Well, I mean, so he sleeps in is his whole thing here, because he was dreaming.
Yeah.
And he finds out, and his little sister comes to wake him up, and mom is leaving, and they keep saying that mom is leaving for a couple weeks. They don't really mention dad leaving for a couple weeks, although dad's with them, and it is dad. He says, "Okay, bye, dad." but it's always mom is leaving and mom, we're really upset that mom is leaving.
That could be like a cultural thing.
Could be. Now they're staying, he and his little sister, and she's quite a bit little, like preschool age, are staying with grandma, or grandma's staying with them, I guess, because it is his room. And he runs out and he talks to mom and she's like, oh, be good for grandma and things like that and everything. So she, so then he goes to school and he finds out that there's a math test and he's daydreaming out the window and the teacher calls on him for the math test and he basically gets embarrassed in front of the whole classroom and everyone is like, ha ha, Raymond doesn't know anything because he didn't study because I guess he's lazy. And he's like, that's stupid. And then grandma's like, you should clip your nails. And he's like, I'll do it later.
What does nails have to do with math?
I don't know. They keep coming back to him having to clip his nails. And I know. And so every time it shows him, he's like getting told to do something. And he's like, oh, I'll do it later. Or I slept in for it. And that's supposed to be like enforcing his laziness.
Sounds he goes pretty lazy, yeah.
To meet his friends. And they're working on this, like, I think it's still part of school or it's, there's no teacher around, but they're all wearing their school uniforms. And it's like in the building, it might be a club, it might be a cultural thing, I don't know, but they're building like bridges and like they're building stuff in groups.
Like metaphorically or like physically?
Like physically, okay. Like little ones, like models and stuff.
Okay.
I
did that in school.
Okay. I did not know what was going on in this. So I was like, so they're playing with models, I guess. Except, again, they're all in their uniforms. And it seemed like they were working in specific groups. So he came up and was and he pulls out these big blueprints. First of all, a lazy kid cannot make blueprints like this. I mean, they were kid blueprints.
He probably stole them.
Maybe, because he's lazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, we can't actually build this. You're so dumb, Raymond.
Yeah, Raymond.
Jeez, Raymond, you're so dumb. You can't actually build this. And he was building a spaceship, and I guess it was supposed to be based on his dream he had. I don't know.
That's not a bridge.
No, I don't know what they were supposed to be doing. It was not clear. So, but he had an excuse to show off these blueprints, and they're like, no. So then he leaves, and as he's leaving, he knocks over one of the kids' bridges. So they're all mad at him. So he gets very upset, and he goes running into the woods.
Can I point out that there's a distinct lack of gourd so far?
I'm getting there.
Okay, yeah.
So he goes running into the woods, and they also make fun of him in front of the teacher for being bad at fishing. Or something.
Yeah, that makes sense.
She's like, class, that's not very nice. So he goes to the lake and he's gonna go fishing because he's upset at his classmates.
But he's bad at fishing. That's a terrible idea.
But while he's doing that, he's like, puts his pole down and like wedges it in there, so it's just gonna like fish without him because he's lazy. And bad at fishing. And then he lays down and was like, I wish I didn't have to do anything ever.
Yeah, same, Raymond, same.
And then the wish, like, reverberates around in the atmosphere.
The wish does.
The wish does. Like, the words come out of his mouth, and it's, like, wavy on and makes waves on the water. And
do you think maybe there was, like, a gas leak in his house, and that's why he sleeps all the time? And he's, like, having
hallucinations? Thing. Could be. Because while he's making these blueprints, he kind of has a nap at his desk, like, before he goes to school and all that other stuff. So that might be in line with the gas leak thing.
Carbon monoxide poisoning.
Right. Mm. So the wish calls forth or brings to life or something a gourd.
A gourd.
That is at the bottom of the water.
That's where gourds live.
If they're magical.
They're magical, I guess.
Now, and we kind of know what the magic gourd is because very conveniently when he's like getting ready for school or coming home from school or something, the grandma's telling the little girl the story of the magic gourd and how
Perfect.
Like it was so convenient. It's literally the most we hear the grandma talk the entire time.
So this is how he imagines the
carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah,
okay.
I get it.
And he's like, that's just a little kid's story. Gourds don't actually come to life and grant you wishes.
It's true. They don't.
How do you know? This one did.
Okay.
So that's actually what happens. So the gourd, like, he's fishing and all of a sudden the rod starts looking like he's got a fish. So he pulls it up and then there's like a tsunami type wave. Like it's massive.
In the pond?
Yes. And you're like, how big is this freaking gourd? And it's just little, it's like a regular size gourd. I don't know why it made such a big wave, but it did. And then it just like went back down.
It's magic.
Magic, yeah. So I think it's the height of its magic.
Okay.
Okay, so This gourd shows up. And, like, I was trying to find what the name of the gourd is, because it's something. It's, like,
gourd.
Billy or something is what he introduced himself. I don't think it's actually Billy, but it's something like that. And but often they just call it gourd.
Gourd.
It's not actually gourd. It's like magic gourd. Yeah. Not gourd like
Gordon.
That's what I thought, but no. No. It was laying right
G-Money.
There for you. No.
That's his magical DJ name.
G-Money. Okay. So the gourd tells him,
I think I had more fun with this movie than you did.
I did. Okay. So the gourd tells him he can grant all of his wishes and he doesn't have to do anything. And the gourd seems really happy to attach himself to Raymond.
Ah, parasite.
Basically. And then Raymond's like, "That you can't be real. You're not magical. You're just a faker." And I'm like, dude, you're talking to like a gourd. Like, who's talking back to you?
Yeah, just fake though.
Okay, apparently. And so he says, so like, prove it kind of thing. Like, there's always the prove it. Prove that you're magic. It's like you're still talking to a gourd. So like, there's still some element of like weird going on, but whatever. So Raymond has an attitude with the gourd to begin with. And the gourd's like, oh, you want fish? Okay. So then he just like makes some waves happen and a bunch of fish appear and they're just like swirling around. And it's actually like not bad CGI for 2007. And the fish are kind of pretty and very exotic looking. And so he just picks out a bunch of cool ones and puts them in his little bucket. And then he's like, wow, look at my fish. And kind of like, they were making fun of me for being a bad fisherman. Well, now this will show them. And the gourd also says that he will do whatever his master wants. And he always calls Raymond master.
Oh, okay. Not like some demon. Secret master.
No. He says, Raymond, you're my new master. I'll do whatever you want, but you can't tell anyone about me. And he says, yeah, sure. And he says, if you do, I have to go find another master. Okay, cool. And you think this is going to be an important plot point, right? Like he's going to like let the secret slip or something?
No,
it doesn't happen. No. Okay. Okay. That's just like the parameters, I guess.
Parameters are important. But
I guess it's why it's establishing that he doesn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
So anyway, he goes and he's like all excited. He's like, no one's going to make fun of me now for being a bad fisherman. So he takes the fish back to his school and like a couple of his friends are still hanging out in the parking lot or something, as kids do. And the teacher's coming out of the building.
Hooligans.
Exactly. And he's showing them and they're like, wow, that's weird. Where did you find these? And he says, oh, just in the lake in the woods or whatever. He says, well, these fish can't live in lakes.
They're ocean fish. Yeah.
Well, I think it's like, that's weird. That doesn't make sense. Teacher, come here. And now he's like, uh-oh. And so the teacher's like, that is very interesting. What should we do to solve this problem? And they're all like, let's go to the library. So the next day they're going to meet at the library.
And it becomes an episode of the Magic School Bus.
That would make it so much better. So the next day he goes to the library. But first we have this great montage at nighttime when Raymond... it, like, gets mad at the gourd for pulling up the wrong fish. And the gourd's like, you just said you wanted fish. I don't know. And this is kind of Raymond's whole deal. Every time the gourd does something, Raymond's really happy about it and then gets pissed off about it.
Raymond sounds like a piece of work.
He is a piece of work. Mm. And it's, like, really hard to like Raymond throughout this whole thing.
So what you're saying is everybody doesn't love Raymond.
I'm going to high five that one. That was good. Okay, so anyway, the library one is, that night the gourd like cleans his whole room for him and does things like he sees his school books lying out and he notices some of the pencils are different lengths, so he sharpens them all to be very, very tiny so they're all the same length. Like, the gourd can't think is the whole point.
Yeah.
But he uses like what Raymond says and does as like, these are things that I want done,
right,
without him even saying, like, it's not like Raymond has to say, I wish this. And that basically is where a lot of the problems happen. So he goes to the library the next day, and this is the first big problem, is he wants this book about, I don't know, fish or whatever. And he says, the girl helping behind the desk, and it is a girl, it's like someone his age, is like, no, so-and-so asked to come borrow it first, so you have to wait till he's done. And then the gourd sees he wants the book, so the gourd actually makes the book magically leave the boy who had actually booked it out and show up in Raymond's hands. So it's like he steals the book for him because he knew Raymond wanted it.
Well, I suppose that could go worse. Like, you could, the gourd could be murderous.
Exactly. But Raymond's really upset about this because everyone's looking for this book now, and apparently this is an important book. It's not in a porn book. People are very upset that there's a missing book, essentially. And I'm like, okay. Okay, here. But Raymond is then very upset because then it looks like he stole it. No one sees that he has it. So he tells the Gord to get rid of it. And the Gord's like, okay. So he makes it fly away. And of course, now you have a flying book running around. He accidentally makes Raymond eat some chess pieces because he says something like, I'm going to have your... He's playing chess with his friend. He's like, I'm going to eat you for lunch or something, like kind of being threatening. And the Gord's like, okay. So he like makes him eat chess pieces, like just shoves them into his mouth.
Yeah. See, this seems like an unconscious monkey paw situation.
It's kind of like more the vibe, but it's not like as sinister as monkey paw. It's just like completely brainless. Like, and I think more of the thing is that Raymond is not like he's lazy, but he's lazy in the way like that he's a kid being lazy. It's more that he doesn't think things through. He's like has trouble with impulse control, and the Gore's just like, I just do what you want. Like, if this is what you want,
that could be an awesome horror film,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, so then there's different things, like they're chasing, they realize the book is still flying around, so they're chasing it, and it ends up going into the pool. There's like an indoor swimming pool where a bunch of people are like swimming laps and things like that. And Raymond dives in after it. And the guy who's watching is like, oh, you can swim. We're one short for our relay team, the school boys relay team or something. We want you in.
There's nothing in the rules that says a Gord can't compete in the swim team.
Well, no, but this is Raymond. They don't know about the magic Gord because it's right. A secret.
I'm just saying. There's nothing in the rules about
it. There's nothing in the rules. So then he's excited because he's made the swim team, and he's all like proud of himself for doing that. And then the next day he starts getting all the answers right on his math test, because of course the Gord's giving him all the answers and things. So now he's all happy about that. And then he wants to show his classmates that he could actually do something cool, like build this spaceship or robot or something like that, not just a stupid bridge. So the Gord makes him a robot. And then Raymond's pissed again because he's like, I just want you to do all the dumb things and I only want to do the fun ones. So the Gord's like, oh, okay. His parents come home early because he has a swim meet going on and things are going so well for Raymond that they show up, and the dad, to like show that he loves him because he made the swim meet apparently, got him a bike. And so the Gord is then upset that Raymond is happier about the bike that the dad gave him.
Okay.
Then, like, at one point they go to walk through a toy store, and Raymond's like, these toys are all really cool. And then he, like, leaves. And so the Gord, like, gets all the toys to come to life and chase him. And so the Gord is like, how come he's so happy about Dad giving him a bike, but he got mad at me for giving him all the toys in the whole store?
Yeah, like, there's a whole psychological study on, like, when something's a challenge, you feel more proud or engaged with it than if you just, like, everything's given to you, then you don't really care about it. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's kind of the whole premise behind this.
There's a loud bird right now. You might be able to hear. It's kind of funny.
It's not a very happy bird. So the Gord's also having something of an existential crisis because he doesn't understand the difference. Kind of like...
Because he's a Gord of very little brain.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So, and later when he gets cut in half, he found out he has no brain.
Oh, my.
Jumped ahead there. Okay. So, then the Gord helps. So, Raymond is, like, really ticked off at the Gord now for some reason. And he has a math test again the next morning. And the Gord, meanwhile, spends, like, all night trying to, like, learn math and make sure his homework's done and clean his room. And he clips his toenails while he's sleeping because, again, the nails is, like, a thing. And... It's this whole thing about how the Gord is basically, like, trying to look after Raymond this whole time. And so anyway, then the next morning he says, this math test is really important because I want my mom and dad to be super proud of it, because now mom and dad are home, right?
Thank goodness.
And
he's 10. He should not be left alone.
Well, he was with his grandma.
Grandma's old, too old to live by herself, so.
So anyway, he is like, of course, doesn't even try. He just waits for the magic Gord to magically Gord, apparently, and transfer all the answers to magically show up on his paper. So the Gord's outside the school on the tree that he's been like hanging out on this whole time, while just outside of his classroom, so he can like look and see what's going on in the classroom, but apparently can't be in the room.
Super creepy.
Yeah, exactly. So he's there and he's looking at all the kids' papers and he's like, no, that one's only like a 70. No, that one's only an 80. I think we can do better.
That bird's getting closer.
It is. Wow. Okay.
Gah!
You don't need to caw at it.
I just did that.
Okay. Anyway, the so right as the time is up and everyone starts taking their pages up to the front, and of course Raymond hasn't written anything on his, he notices the girl behind him. She's like, oh, that's a 95. That'll be the best mark in the class. So he takes all the answers. And I mean takes, I mean he magically transfers all the answers from, I think it's Susie's paper to Raymond's. Yeah. So Susie hands in a blank piece of paper and Raymond right behind her hands in a completed one and they're like leaving and the teacher looks at them and is like, come back here. Susie, why is your paper blank? And he's like, I didn't leave my paper blank. What the heck is going on? She's like, hold on, Raymond, is this your paper? And he says, of course it is. And he says, really? Because Susie's name is at the top. So like the gourd transferred everything over.
Nice.
And then so Susie was... just like, I agree, Bird. This is just a ridiculous plot.
Yeah.
So then Susie's upset, and the teacher's upset, and the teacher's like, well, we have to go to the principal. And so he gets upset, and he runs away down to the water again. And the gourd is just like, aren't you happy? You got the you'll definitely get the best mark on the test. And Raymond just, like, snaps at him and blows up. And then the gourd...
like, blows up? Like...
yeah, just
explosion?
The same. Yeah, yeah. Mentally, emotionally blows up.
Oh, less exciting.
And is
okay.
Like, it's all your fault. And the gourd's like, I'm literally just giving you what is in your heart, like what you want. And then he basically says, like, if you want me to be a monster, I can be a monster. If you think I'm a monster, you want me to be a monster, I can be a monster. And he, like,
uh-oh.
Turns monstrous. And then he's like, but it's not, like, he seems, I think he's supposed to seem scary, but his whole thing is like, whatever you want is what I can make happen. So if you want me to be a monster, I can be a monster. If you want me to, like, and he kind of like half chases him for a little bit, but like not really. Basically, it's just like chaos. And then somehow, I don't remember what he uses, but Raymond like cuts him in half, not as a monster, like as a regular gourd, as like a regular magic gourd, I guess. And he says, you don't have any brains. And he says, of course not, I'm a gourd, like, and that's yeah. His whole thing, he's like, I don't think, like, I only give you what you want, I don't.
He says this while he's cut in half.
Yeah, and then he like magically gets stitched back together, kind of thing.
Well, that's handy.
Yeah. So anyway, Raymond is like, I never want to see you again, leave me alone. And his friends come up and he apologizes to Susie and the teacher, and they're all like, don't ever do it again. And then it shows him at dinner the next night, and the parents are of course disappointed in him, but they're talking about him. And basically the gourd is still like saving his, like, not posthumously, because he's not dead, he's just hanging out of the water
posthumously. I mean, that is how it's written.
Okay. The gourd is not dead, is my point.
Gotcha.
Okay. And also not human, so that wouldn't even work.
Posthumously.
Posthumously.
I like it.
You're not going to let that one go, no. Are you? Every once in a while, a word comes out that I've read so much more than I've said and
yeah.
Written.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Posthumously. Anyway, but he's not dead, and he's not a human, so that's the point is moot. Not mute. Moot.
Mm-hmm.
And, but everyone's like, oh, but he's been doing so well. This is just like a little blip, because, of course, he had been doing well while the gourd was helping him.
Thanks, gourd.
Yeah, so even though...
or Billy, or whatever.
Whatever his name is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, he says, oh, okay, that's... basically, he's forgiven. It kind of is the thing, but everyone's like watching him now, and he's going to be really good. So, all of a sudden, he kind of is. He's like... trying to study for his math on his own, and he like is again trying to be nice to his friends, and then he goes to the big swim meet, and the gourd meanwhile keeps thinking like, I wish I could help him, I don't want to let him down, but he told me to stay away, so I'm going to, but I don't know if that's what he really wants, because of course no brains. But he decides to stay, and he's gonna hang out with this like frog who hangs around the lake.
Oh, that's just a frog. Is it a magical frog?
It's a CGI frog. It's not magic, it just like looks at him more and stuff like that, and he just like sits there, and he talks to the frog, and the frog's like, ribbit. And he like hops into the water, like it acts like a frog. It just walks around with the gourd sometimes when the gourd is like, I'm worried about Raymond.
Is this because the gourd attracts flies? It's like rotting in this pond.
I bet that's probably it.
Okay.
Um, But Raymond wins the swim meet for the team all by himself.
Wow.
They're coming in.
They must have been really bad at swimming.
Second
then.
Or third. And when it's his turn, because it's a relay, and he like makes up the difference. And he's kind of like, he seems like he's proud of it. And then he is looking at his family and he kind of like doesn't seem as happy anymore. So then immediately after, he goes to the water and he's where
the
pool gourd,
water or the pond
the gourd,
water?
Where the gourd is chilling out by the pond. And he like calls out to the gourd and is like, I want to tell you that we won. And the gourd's like, oh, okay. So he like appears and is like, you won? That's wonderful. And he says, you didn't know? And he says, no, I'm here. You told me not to come. And so then he's really happy because he realizes he actually did it himself.
Right.
And he had been training and running, and the gourd kept like checking on him but not interfering. So then the gourd is like, oh, you realized it's better to do it yourself. And then he's like, it's time for me to leave. You don't need me anymore, even though he hasn't done anything for a while. But anyway, he needed to Raymond to come to that on his own.
My job here is done. You've done literally nothing. I said my job here is done.
So he then like summons a bird, or a bird shows up. I don't know how the bird shows up. So a bird shows up and the gourd like gets on the bird's back and rides the bird off into the sunset. And Raymond's like, cool. And he goes away. And that's the end of the movie. That is the end of the movie.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. I don't think sunset. I think it's actually the clouds, but regardless.
So he learned to swim, and he learned
He already knew how to swim, but he learned to swim faster.
Fast swimming is good.
Yeah, and I think his whole thing is to learn not to be lazy, even though, again, he was kind of lazy, but it was more that he was just, like, overly imaginative. He may have had, like, trouble focusing.
Yeah, so there was a gas leak at his house mm-hmm. and the school, mm-hmm. and he went and got some fresh air by the pond and became a good swimmer.
Apparently.
Yeah, okay.
Well, and then at one point he, like, wakes up again in the same way where he had fallen asleep doing his thing, and I was like, I swear to God, if this whole thing was a stupid dream. But then it wasn't, so, like, including that was just, like, trying to be a red herring but not actually putting enough effort in to be a red herring. But, like, it was all a dream.
Was the red herring one of the fish that he got out of the
Probably.
Pond?
Probably. That's where the red herring was.
Okay.
So anyway, that's that movie. It was something.
Sounds
literally
gourd-tastic.
Literally the worst thing you've made me watch, and that includes that stupid can of worms thing.
You know what? There's lots more movies on Disney Plus that I can dig up.
You know what?
For next
you just
time.
Remember that
yeah,
it's your turn coming soon.
I remember, that's why.
We have plans. We actually have our weeks almost planned until the like middle of November. Did you know that?
Middle
of
November.
Or beginning of November. Yeah, through spooky season. Not on here, but we do.
Oh, I was like, that list is only till September. Okay, that's different than November.
That is. But no, because, yeah.
They both have burr in them.
They do, do. Yeah. Yeah. Sir?
Mm.
Like.
Aaron Burr.
Yeah. Sir? Yeah.
No.
No? Okay.
No.
All right, fine then. It's because D23 is coming, though. So
yes.
There's, like, lots of content stuff. But don't worry. I will sneak in there some more blind dates for you. Don't you worry. And I'll remember this. I do like pumpkins.
Yeah. That's why I thought it'd be nice, magical, pumpkin-adjacent fella
yeah,
for ya.
It was magical.
No?
It was magical.
Okay. So, last episode, you asked me some trivia questions.
Yes.
So I guess we should kind of review those.
That would probably be a good idea.
Okie dokie. Thanks for watching that movie for me,
mm-hmm.
so I don't have to.
Yeah, well, it was
now
something.
No one has to.
This
is like a public service.
Yeah, you're welcome, everyone. Okay, so I was asking you questions about Fantasyland. Do you remember?
Fantasyland, yeah, we talked about Fantasyland.
Okay, so one question I asked you a question about the Matterhorn that we're just going to jump over right now because...
Okay, just before we get to that, I was just Googling the Magic Gourd.
Okay.
And this is the movie poster. Was there a dinosaur that you've neglected to mention?
No. The only dinosaur were like dinosaur... There was a couple dinosaur toys, I think. Yeah, there was a dinosaur toy, one of the toys he takes from the toy shop. No actual dinosaur chases him, no.
So,
they do fly in, like, that weird thing.
So, this, yeah, okay. They tried to make it look a little cooler.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. There was not an actual dinosaur chasing them.
There is a Secret of Magic Gourd toy, maybe?
Okay, yay.
Look, he looks very happy about it.
Oh, my, okay. Well, I see, but the gourd itself is kind of cute, right?
Okay, yeah. Oh, and they're doing Tai Chi with the frog that you talked about.
Yeah, that's the frog.
Yeah, okay, cool. Anyway, yes, back to Fantasyland trivia, sorry.
So I asked you a question about the Matterhorn, and it was the basketball court, and you went off on a rant that we're not even going to revisit because it was a very long rant about the basketball court. Let's just say you were correct.
Basketball.
And then you, like, schooled me on the basketball.
The basketball.
Question two, I asked you about one of the favorite character interactions, our Anastasia and Drusilla. I asked you what movie they were from that you can have in Fantasyland. You were correct.
Yeah.
That was a weird question. I thought that was going to trip you up because I was just like, it's... Fantasyland is one of those places where you can have great character interactions, and that's always a very one of the favorite ones.
Why would that trip me up? That seemed like a really easy question.
Well, I didn't know you knew who Drusilla was.
Why not?
Do you know what their last name is?
I don't know. Evil?
No.
I don't know. They
Cruella.
Have they have dumb names in that movie. Like, the cat's name is Lucifer.
Yeah,
so.
That's a great cat name. No, it's Tremaine.
Mm. Yes, I do. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Because I told you who Lady Tremaine was, and I had to explain that. Yeah. Okay, so I asked you then about the drawbridge to Sleeping Beauty's castle.
Oh, yes, the drawbridge.
And it has only been raised twice. I asked you what those two times were. You go, you know what? I'm going to give you a half on this. This is what you said.
So they lowered it on opening day.
Yep.
And then when did they raise it? I don't remember. I did hear about it, though. I don't know. I don't remember. I did hear about it. Yeah, like, I could have told you it was only used twice.
Oh, but you just can't remember.
I can't remember the reason.
Okay, fair enough.
It was like a presidential visit or something.
Okay. Okay, so preparation for opening day in 1955. Opening day, absolutely correct. But the second time was in 1983 after the major Fantasyland refurbishment and expansion.
Yeah, refurbishment. They could do that again.
They could. I don't know. Fantasyland doesn't need it as much as other places. It
doesn't need to be major, but they've been slowly working away at the dark rides and stuff.
That's true.
Refurbishing them piecemeal and stuff. So, yeah.
And then finally, the last question I asked you was about the Golden Spike, because I had to come up with another question because you schooled me so badly on Matterhorn.
I thought I made a good guess on this one.
Okay, so this is what you said.
On the railroad track, I would imagine.
This was a good guess. It actually was, it's kind of in the Sleeping Beauty castle area, because it's supposed to put the center of the park, not
a survey spike, not
a
railroad spike.
Yeah, exactly.
Mostly golden spikes are on railroads, though.
I mean, that's a fair guess. That was a fair guess. So anyway, not bad. I'm going to say you got 2.5 out of 4. Your Matterhorn one is not worth bonus points.
I think it should be.
Well, you can think that all you want.
Okay. I got 500 out of 4.
That is not at all what I said. No.
Okay, cool.
All right, cool. Well, anyway, any more questions about that magic gourd or secrets about the magic gourd?
Why didn't Raymond, like, make better wishes? Like,
because he was probably head was as empty as the gourds, apparently.
Okay.
I just thought he would make a great great butter squash. I don't even know what kind of gourd
butter
it was.
Butter squash.
Soup.
Butter squash? Butternut squash?
Yeah. Butternut squash.
I think that movie might have scrambled your brains, too. Okay.
Anyway, I'm done talking about this movie. Oh, my God. So, thankfully, that is now our show for this week. Thank you, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work at our website at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast, where you can also find a link to our social media accounts. You can also email us there, and you can find us on YouTube at Adventures A, as well as Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, all under DisneyA. If you haven't rated or reviewed our podcast, you probably should do that. Yeah. Because then you'd be more awesome than if you didn't.
Yeah, okay.
And you want to be awesome, right? I think so.
Or you could get your magic gourd to do it.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have so many outtakes of, like, badly pronouncing things from this. If you know someone who might like listening to us, be sure to recommend Disney A to them, even if that someone is a magic gourd, maybe. I don't know. They can't review.
Do they have ears?
Well, maybe that's why he couldn't fully hear Raymond's wishes, and, like, I don't know.
Weird. Okay.
He had a mouth and eyes and arms and legs.
Mm.
So, we have been talking about our Q&A, our upcoming Q&A. That's what we're going to be doing next episode. Are you excited?
Depends on the Q's.
And the A's.
Well, I'll provide the A's.
We've got some good ones, but again, I'll put another call if anyone has any more last minute ones to put in. So that is going to be next episode. Are you excited?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay, so until then, I'm Krista.
And I'm Brandon.
And TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A. Butternut Squash.
I think that movie might have scrambled your brains too. Okay.